Okay. I know that some people were expecting a different episode this release, but because of travel for my birthday and, well, basically feeling like I'm behind on everything in life at the moment, I switched gears and decided to go with one that's always been interesting to me. This one is also just going to be a little miniature masquerade episode because time. Where the hell does it go sometimes? There just is not enough for all the things that life demands of me. So anyways, I am still going to deliver you another episode this month, albeit just barely. This is an absolutely bizarre story, so let's go ahead and get into it. Let's jump into our time machine and go way back to the year 1883. As the legend goes, one spring morning, two ranchers left their homes, located in the southeastern part of Arizona, on Eagle Creek, to go check on their livestock. This was during the Apache War, and it wasn't uncommon for the ranchers to lose livestock if the area got raided. The men left their wives home, and they continued to do chores around the house. One of the wives went to collect water from a nearby spring, while the other stayed at the house with the children. There was always a risk that the area could be raided again, so keeping the children safe was a constant concern. Suddenly, the woman who remained at the house heard the dogs barking frantically, accompanied by a blood-curdling scream. When she got to the window to see if she could find the cause of the commotion, she saw what she could only describe as, quote, "a huge reddish-colored beast ridden by a devilish-looking creature." In a state of panic, she barricaded herself and the children in the house without checking on the other woman and waited for the men to return. Later that evening, the body of the wife who had gone to collect water was found trampled to death by the spring, and the following day, cloven-like footprints reportedly twice the size of a horse's were found at the scene. The men followed the prints, but had no luck finding the creature. They did, however, find some reddish-brown colored hair or fur in a bush along the path. The coroner from Solomonsville, who came to inspect the body, was skeptical of the tale, to say the least. At first, he speculated that she was murdered by someone else living on the ranch. However, due to how severely the body had been battered, or perhaps trampled, and the unknown tracks left in the mud, it was determined to be death in some unknown manner, as reported in the Mojave County Miner newspaper. A few days later, a group of prospectors also reported an encounter with the creature. They were camped out on Chase Creek, northeast of Eagle Creek, while panning for gold in the area. They were awoken in the middle of the night when their camp was destroyed by something that appeared to them as an impossibly large horse. They didn't get a good look, though, as it continued to rampage through the bushes, breaking off branches as it went. More of the red hairs were discovered at this location, as well as the extra-large hoof-like footprints along the creek. As stories often do, these ones spread and with each telling of the story became embellished even more. Other people began coming forward with some less than believable tales of their own. One man said that he saw the creature kill and devour a grizzly bear, while another claimed it completely vanished right before his eyes. There was another account where people claimed it was nearly 30 feet tall and had knocked over two of their wagons. About a month after the first two recorded encounters with what had become to be known as the Red Ghost, another rancher, Cyrus Hamblin, was out searching for stray cattle. Nearly 80 miles northwest of Eagle Creek on Salt River, he came to a stop at a ravine and inspected a creature that he said was about a quarter of a mile away. Despite the distance, he was able to make out the reddish hue, and without a doubt in his mind, he identified the creature as a camel. Not just a camel, though. There appeared to be a, quote, "burden" on the camel's back, resembling a human form. Despite him having a solid reputation and there being little to no reason for him to lie about what he had seen, some people were skeptical to believe him. But many still took his word for truth. The burden he spoke of was believed by most people to just be a camel's hump and not anything humanoid. However, that would all change a few weeks later. Another group of prospectors had their own encounter, this time located about 60 miles west of Hamblin's ranch near the Verde River. While the creature was grazing, the five men slowly snuck up towards it. Once they were within what they considered shooting distance, they fired. The animal took off, not appearing to be injured, but just spooked. As it ran away, something fell from its back that would add credibility to Cyrus Hamblin's account of what he saw. Again, as reported in the Mojave County Miner, quote, a human skull with a few shreds of flesh and hair clinging to it. About a year after these encounters took place, another man, a cowboy this time, came across the animal grazing near Phoenix and attempted to lasso it. Startling and probably angering the animal, it charged the man and the horse he was riding. They both went down, but not before the man noticed the headless skeleton upon its back. The legend of the Red Ghost would continue to grow for 9 more years. In 1893, yet another rancher, Mizu Hastings, discovered the creature in his garden. He took aim with his rifle and managed to take out the elusive creature with a single shot. After an examination, basically everyone was convinced that this animal was none other than the Red Ghost. It was definitely a camel, and there was indeed a skeletal rider strapped to its back. The camel had scarring from the leather and rawhide that was used to strap the body to its back. It had quite literally dug into the poor animal's skin over the years of having a body tied to it. There's no doubt in my mind that that camel had a pretty miserable existence while carrying around that corpse. The question is, how did a camel end up in Arizona in the first place? And why the hell was there a body so tightly bound to its back that it literally stayed there for years upon years until it was little more than a skeleton? Well, to answer those questions, we need to go back even farther to 1855, when the one and only U.S. Camel Corps was born. During the westward expansion of the United States, the military needed a way to transport supplies to soldiers in more secluded, arid regions. The idea was first proposed in 1936, and it took 19 years for it to catch on and come to fruition. With a budget of $30,000, the hunt was on in the Mediterranean region for camels to have shipped to the U.S. In total, 76 camels were purchased and brought over during the course of 2 separate trips, landing in Texas. However, 6 of the camels passed away, and in the end, the army ended up with 70 camels total. After testing the animals' strength and endurance, they were indeed used for multiple long-distance reconnaissance missions in extremely dry areas. The camels could perform in areas where mules and horses would have died, making them, at least in the eyes of the men who used them, essential. Unfortunately, the camels weren't always treated well. They were often beat and mistreated by the men who were entrusted with them. Camels don't behave quite like a mule or a horse either. There was no beating them into submission, and when they were mistreated, the camels fought back, which, I mean, good for them. On one occasion, while a soldier was attempting to do just that, he was trampled to death and the camel ran off before anyone was able to shoot it. In another incident, a camel was overloaded with weight. Groaning under the immense load, it refused to stand. After being beat, the camel retaliated and skinned the man's arm down to the bone with its incisors. Eventually, the Civil War interrupted the Camel Corps operation, and with the addition of railroads across the United States, the need for camels substantially decreased. In 1866, the Army rounded up what camels they could and sold them off, while a portion of them escaped or were released into the wilds of Arizona. So, now we know how camels came to be roaming the American Southwest, but what about the skeletal rider? Well, the most widely accepted theory is that a soldier learning to ride the camels was afraid of them, and in order to keep him on the camel, fellow soldiers tied him securely to the animal's back before it bolted. Maybe it was, in fact, just a torturous death sentence, which was honestly my first thought. Dehydration, starvation, and exposure to the elements while strapped to the back of a camel who can survive harsh conditions with little to no water? Sounds like a pretty horrible way to go, so I guess if you pissed the wrong person off during that time, they had that option. Whatever the case, this strange tale sounds like something straight out of Scooby-Doo, not an actual historical event. But then again, sometimes fact really is stranger than fiction. And I hope you guys found this story as intriguing as I did. As always, thank you for listening. I am your host, Aurora, and this has been The Dark Masquerade.